Good morning, church family. What a privilege it is to be here today, and thank the Lord for cool weather finally. It's about time. We're entering into the Thanksgiving week. Perfect timing. My name is Sam Zettel. I'm an elder here at Indian Creek, and I'm extremely humbled and honored to serve in the church and you in this manner. Such a blessing. Before I start, though, I want to take just a second, and I think we take advantage of this. I want to thank young Sam. Is young Sam still in the room? He might have walked out over there. Okay, there he is. I call him young Sam. Young Sam, obviously I'm the old Sam. Young Sam and his team, they do an awesome job every week, and we take it for granted. We hear these songs, we think, hey, it just popped out. Amen. And I want to thank our sound booth and our audio booth. Once again, they're here every Wednesday night. They're here every Sunday working, and we just take it for granted. Thank you, folks, for doing that. Okay, obviously, I'm not Pastor Jake. He's traveling. He hasn't seen his family in, what, Brianna, 10 years, 12 years, something like that? Imagine that, not being with your family for 10 or 12 years. So he's on a much-needed break right now. Pray for him and his family that they have a restful time, they have a reconnection with their family, and the Lord brings them back safely. We're so blessed to have someone like Jake in our pulpit. Here about 4 weeks ago, he asked me, he said, hey, Sam, I'm going to be out. Would you mind covering for me? And I said, no, I think I can do that. And these were his exact words, kind of funny. He said, you got one in the chamber? I said, like one prepared? I said, well, I think I might. I might have something. And he said, well, forget it. We're calling an audible here. I'm going to challenge you with something, and if you're okay with it, I want you to do it. I said, well, that depends. You know, I have a limited IQ. I'm not from a seminary. It depends on what you want me to present. So he said, I want you to shake things up. I want you to rattle a cage a little bit. I want you to challenge our members and our believers. Throw something out there. Challenge them. So I worked on that a little bit and prayed about it, read devotions on it, and I bounced it off of him, as well as Brother Jamie. Thank you very much, Jamie, for reviewing some things with me. And I told Jake what I was doing. He said, that sounds pretty good. So what I'm going to say today, it may be reaffirming, it may be reassuring, it may be convicting, but hopefully it challenges us all. I know some of it was very convicting and challenging to me. So we're all in this together. It might feel like I'm hammering on you, but I'm hammering on myself the same. So before we start, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, what a blessing it is to be in your church today, dear Lord. Thank you for the rain that you brought this last week. Thank you for the cooler weather. We thank you, Lord, that you have included us in your family. You call us a family. You've brought us here together today, dear Lord. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak through me, that you would be glorified in all things that we say and do. Less of me, dear Lord, and more of you. We pray, dear Lord, for a successful return from our chili trip. We hear such great results of lives changed, people making commitments to the Lord. Just thank you for Pastor Guy and the whole team here from Indian Creek that he took, dear Lord, and their hard work. They're exhausted. Just give them rest when they get home. Dear Lord, I pray for right now as I think about our nursery workers up in the New Life Center that you would give them strength and obviously patience. They need patience, dear Lord. Be with them. Be with all the workers and volunteers that we spoke about this morning in our family meeting. We need many more, dear Lord. I just thank you for allowing us to come together today to meet. And we pray that your word would be edifying and reassuring to us all. In your holy name I pray, amen. Okay, so I'm sure you're looking at your bulletin going, what in the world is this guy talking about? What's for breakfast? When it comes to a church sermon. Well, I'm glad you asked. Here it comes. So, let's see. There's a story, as the story goes, this is not to be referenced to anybody, it's just a story, it's an analogy. I love this analogy. I've used it many times in business. I've used it when working with teams. And when I get halfway into it, you're going to probably say, I know this one. So the story goes, there's a young pastor. He moves to a new state. He has a new church. And as most things happen like this, this new pastor meets with the old pastors and all the pastors in the community, and they get together. And they talk about what's going on. They pray about things and come to know each other's needs. And this one old pastor takes the young pastor under his wing, says, why don't we meet like every Thursday for breakfast and talk? Let me mentor you. Let me kind of get you used to the area and maybe some things you might expect. Young pastor says, yeah, that sounds good. Well, on this one particular breakfast meeting, the young pastor comes in. He's kind of mopey. Read his body language, shoulders kind of down, kind of droopy. And the older pastor says, young man, what is wrong with you today? What's going on? And the young pastor says, I don't know. I'm just kind of discouraged. I feel like I'm spinning my wheels. He said, well, explain. He says, well, it seems like whatever I do in the church, I'm not getting anywhere. You know, I set up programs and people say they're coming and they don't come. I need volunteers and people volunteer and they don't show up. Sometimes they show up. Sometimes they quit halfway through. He said, we have programs where I put things in the bulletin. I put them up on billboards. I put them up on a marquee. I talk about from the pulpit. And then a week later after we do it, someone says, hey, what was this you guys did? And I said, I publicized it for 4 weeks before. Oh, I didn't know about that. So right about then, this is obviously after they had ordered, the waiter or the waitress brings his breakfast by, and drops it, puts it on his table. And the old pastor says, young man, tell me what's in front of you. And he says, well, I got toast. And I got grits, because this guy's from Alabama. Got to have grits if you're from Alabama. I've got grits. By the way, I'm from Alabama. I've got toast. I've got grits. I've got eggs. And I've got 2 slices of bacon. He said, exactly. He said, tell me who contributed to that breakfast. He said, well, I guess you mean a chicken and a pig. He said, yeah, you're tracking along pretty good here. He said, so between those two parties, who do you think was the interested party, and who do you think was the committed party in making your breakfast? He said, well, chicken's obviously just kind of interested, just kind of pop out an egg here and there, no big deal. He said, well, that pig, he had to bite the dust for me to have breakfast. He said, exactly. He said, unfortunately, in life, in business, in society in general, and anything you're going to do, you're going to have this breakfast condition. Some are just kind of interested. Some are committed. So, just hold on to that thought. Luke 9:50. You didn't think I was going to ever get to Scripture, did you? This is kind of a long intro. Luke 9:57-62. The cost of following Jesus. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another, he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go home and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another man said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom. So what's Jesus saying here? Is he like anti-family? He's going, man, Jesus, that's kind of rough. These dudes were just asking, can I follow you? And you kind of came down hard on them. Jesus knows the heart attitude. This first man, where he says, I will go wherever you go. And Christ says, foxes have holes, birds have nests. I don't even have a place to lay my head. Do you realize the level of commitment it's going to take if you want to follow me? The other two the same. One says, hey, I want to follow you, but let me first go bury my father. What Jesus is saying here is, not only you have to be committed, you have to put me above all. It's Christ first, everything else under. The same with this last man. And I like this last part. He says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. If you, how many in here have plowed a field? I don't need to see. I'm sure many of you have plowed a field. You know what you do when you plow a field. You pick a point across the way, as long as it's not a moving cow. You pick a fence post, a tree, and that's what you aim for. If you look back, what happens? You got it. So he's saying, if you don't stay focused, you can't do it. All right? So I'm getting us set up here. In reading about this, when I Google things, y'all have Googled things, the algorithms make you go to another spot, right? If you read something on commitment. So I started looking at commitment, reading about commitment, not only in God's Word, but examples of commitment in God's Word. Example of commitment and devotion. So they start sending you to, okay, commitment, responsibility, words like that. And I came up with a couple quotes. They're not mine. Theodore Roosevelt in 1908, as did Winston Churchill in 1906, said, power should be accomplished or accompanied by responsibility. The greatest quote that you probably know, though, not from these guys, is from Uncle Ben and Spider-Man. If we have any Spider-Man fans in here, great. I'm not a Spider-Man fan. I actually like the Hulk. But anyway, so Uncle Ben is talking to young Peter Parker. And he says, and this is when Peter's turning into the Spidey, right? He's getting his powers. He's a little bit confused with what's happening to him. And Uncle Ben says, Peter, with great power comes responsibility. So I'm writing down commitment, responsibility, power. And I came across this other quote from John F. Kennedy and Albert Einstein. They both said the same. With privilege, okay, catch this word, with privilege, thank you very much, Sammy, for setting up the songs that talked about our privilege in Christ. With privilege comes responsibility. So now we've got the words commitment, power, responsibility, and privilege. With this in mind, I think we can kind of all come to agreement that these are all interchangeable. They're all kind of connected to one another. So I came up with this cutesy little term, and I Googled it to make sure that I wasn't infringing on anybody that said this, because if they did, I'd say, okay, all credit goes to Joe Smith in Alberta who said this 5 years ago. I could not find this exact statement. So I'm going to say it because I think it's cool, and I like it. Okay? And I think you'll agree with it. The statement is, with privilege, or privilege yields responsibility. Responsibility commands commitment. Think about it again. Privilege yields responsibility. Responsibility commands commitment. Definition of the word privilege. Oh, I'm sorry. I wanted real quick. I had to take a side tangent because Brother Don today talked about, as did Jennifer, as did Jamie, the whole church meeting today, if you missed it, talked about all the stuff that's going on in our church in 2026. You know, usually at the end of the church year, you kind of slow down, you kind of downshift a little bit. You kind of get into the new year, you kind of ramp up slowly again. You're full blown. You're going by mid-spring, you're going full speed ahead. Not us. We are ending this year full speed ahead. As I speak right now, we have a plane full of Chile missionaries coming home from hard work, from spreading the gospel. All the things that we do between now and the end of the year, you can read in the bulletin that we're doing. We've got ESL, beginning of next year. We've got Operation Andrew, beginning of next year. If this is the first time you've heard these, there's information out there on the desk. Talk to Jennifer Cranford. Talk to Don Mall. Talk to any of the elders. We've got a lot going on. So now's not the time to be setting back. So I'm thinking about these comments. And John 9:4 came to me, where Christ says to his disciples, as long as it is day, we must do the work. Read that again. As long as it is day, we must do the work. What he was implying, he had just healed a blind man, and his disciples were asking, Christ, why is this man blind? What sin did he commit? And Christ says, this has nothing to do with any sin. It was to glorify God, to show my power of healing to this man through God Almighty. And then he says, as long as it is day, we must do the work of the Lord. And that he's talking about before he has to depart, his earthly departure before crucifixion. But that also applies to us. We got a lot of work to do. It's daylight. Okay. It's daylight. We gotta, someone said earlier, we gotta strap up. We gotta suit up. We gotta get to work. All right? So now to privilege. Privilege yields responsibility. Responsibility commands commitment. The definition of the word privilege: a special right, advantage, or immunity granted or available only to a particular person or group. All right? Psalm 103. We're going to read that right here. It comes up. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Benefits and privilege kind of sound a lot alike, don't they? They're not exactly alike, but kind of go hand in hand. Forget not his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all our diseases, who redeems our life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love, mercy, satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. So let me ask you a question. Do we consider that? Do we forget not all God's benefits? That's when it went boom to me. I was nailed. Guilty. I forget. I take it for granted. I don't realize what privilege we have in Christ through God Almighty. So let me ask you a question here, just to put it in real life context right now. Do you feel privileged that you are sitting in a room, four walls and a roof? That's not everywhere. Take it from me. That's not everywhere. This is a blessing. Four walls and a roof. The AC works in the summer, and the heater works in the winter. Thank you very much, Danny Clifton. And that we are able to worship here unpersecuted, not persecuted. We can pray to our Lord. We can sing worship songs. We can meet together as a church, and we're not persecuted. My son-in-law is the head pastor at First Irving, in Irving, obviously, and I've heard him say before his time is done, he believes persecution will be pretty common in the pulpit. It's coming. So right now, do you feel privileged to be in this facility, in this church? And all the people said, amen. Amen. All right. This is an iterative process. You'll catch this here. Okay, the next one. Do you feel privileged that when we're done here, you can walk through those two doors, go about 15 feet, hang a left, go up to the top here of the kitchen and eat maybe one of the best meals you've had all week? And all the people said, amen. All right, nice. By the way, when you get up there, thank James Lindley and his team and all our kitchen ladies that are up there working. They've been working since 7 o'clock this morning. If you don't know about this meal, then when we finish here, do exactly what I said. Go up here, and this is why it's called Family Sunday. We consider ourselves a family, a body of believers, and we meet up there and have really good food. Thank you for all the ladies in the church here that are sitting here now. Brought a potluck. Good stuff. Some of the best cooks here that I've ever seen. You are invited. You are welcome if you're a visitor. Please come. Please be our guest. Please don't say, I didn't bring anything, I can't come. You can. You're invited. Okay. So, we consider those privileges. Do we look at our life in Christ as a privilege? We should. I mean, even more, we shouldn't even be able to put boundaries on the privilege that we consider in comparison to what I just talked about. What I just talked about pales in comparison. 1 Peter 2:9 says, we are a royal priesthood. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his, for God's own possession. We belong to God. Amen? Amen. Amen. We belong to God. Man, can you get any better than that? Can we get a better privilege than that? You may think so, but we can't. How blessed are we that we can do that? Psalm 145:18. Sorry, Stephen, I jumped one. Psalm 145:18 says, "The Lord is all who near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear Him, and hears their cry and saves them." We have access to God Almighty. He hears us. The God who spun the cosmos into creation. As I have a good friend who's always talking about that the earth is exactly 23.5 tilted degrees and spins around the earth. Serena's laughing because she knows what I'm talking about. The earth is, God did that. That didn't just happen by itself. God orchestrated that, tilted the earth at 23.5 degrees. It spins around the earth so that we have change in seasons. We have summer. We have winter. That same God that we can walk with and talk to and walk with and feel comforted by. Like Jamie said, we should have confidence in our relationship with this God. This God hears us. He cares us. He cares for us. He walks us through trials and tribulations. He gives me wisdom when I'm being stupid, which is quite often. Gives me wisdom when I need it. He gives us all wisdom when we... This God that we're talking about, the Lord is near to him who calls on him. We have that access. Glory be to God. Man, that's just amazing. 2 Corinthians 9:15 states that thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. We can't even describe it. It is so good. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So let me be remiss if I just stopped right there and said, is there anyone out here today that's visiting that's never heard of this privilege? And you're going, man, I've never heard that before. I don't quite understand what that privilege is. Well, today's your lucky day. We would love to talk to you about the salvation through Jesus Christ. We'll have elders down here at the end or in the back. Please come forward and let us pray for you. Let us tell you what this privilege means. Let us tell you how it changes your life. Let us tell you how it will save you from your sins and you can spend eternity with God Almighty. Okay? We would love to do that. So, moving on. Privilege yields responsibility. What kind of responsibilities do you have as a believer? Do you think about that? Do you think, what are my responsibilities in the church? We're all called as Christ followers to do things, as Riley just did. And by the way, good job, Riley. Very good. The message on the talents, nailed it. That was excellent. We have responsibilities. God doesn't just give them to him and say, hey, good luck with these. You better use them. We better use them. I better use them. All right? Why do we have problems with that word responsibility? Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I'm going to pick on the guys here. Because I can, because I'm a guy, and I don't want the ladies to be upset with me. Okay? So I'm going to pick on the guys. Responsibilities. Christ, man, I'm just messing up all over here, aren't I? Christ has given us responsibilities. As a man, do you take your responsibility serious to be the man of God that he's called you to be? We just studied this in a men's Bible study that John led us in. Great study. And it called us to the carpet. It said, men, are you leading your family? Are you being the spiritual head of the household? Are you speaking God's truth into your children? Are you loving your wife sacrificially as Christ loved the church? You catch the meaning here, right? Are you being responsible with what God's called us to do? Are we being responsible as men? And a lot of the comments we got out of that was, well, my kids are already grown. Kind of missed that boat. Well, it's never too late. It's never too late. For the young men out here, strap up. Time to go. Time to do it. Don't let they go by without you doing it. For the older men, you've got grandkids. You still got kids. It's never too late to talk truth into them, all right? Take our responsibility serious. Micah 6:8 says, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Are we doing that, folks? Are we doing that, men? Do our Sunday's responsibilities that you think of today go away Monday through Saturday when you're not in church? We talked about in that same Bible study and the same men saying, actions talk louder than words. Your kids are watching. Your employees are watching. Your wife is watching. Your boss is watching. Most importantly, God's watching. He's given you a responsibility. If you're calling yourself a child of God and you believe in Jesus Christ, you confess him with his mouth, believe that God raised him from the dead, and you're doing that, you're not taking your responsibility seriously. All right. So, keep going here real quick because I'm kind of getting ready to tie this up. We've talked about this many times in our church. I know Jake has. I think Jamie has. I think Pastor Guy has. That we're a family. We are a family. Co-heirs in Christ through the blood of Christ. And as a family, we've talked about everybody has talents. Everybody has special gifts as given by God. Are we using them? 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members are of the body, though many are one body, so it is with Christ." We're all one. We're a family. Are we growing as a family? Are we doing what we need to do as a responsible family member and a responsible church member? So, commitment. We started with commitment. We're ending with commitment. So, with great privilege yields responsibility. Responsibility commands commitment. Definition of commitment: the state or quality of being dedicated to a cause or activity. Of course, our ultimate example, by far, by none, will never be done ever again in mankind or the existence of the world, is Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We could never beat that. Never. It won't happen. That's the ultimate show of commitment. Let me ask you, how committed are we as individual believers and as a church whole? I read this statement. I thought it was interesting. It says, "Commitment is fine when we're comfortable. However, it's a different story when it becomes hard." So I think you've probably all been in certain situations. You get caught up in the moment and go, "Hey, I'll do that. I will do that." And the second things kind of turn sideways. I don't know if I'm going to do that or not. Where's the commitment? Here's some interesting facts. Well, let me back up before I say these facts. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his love for us in this." Oh, I'm sorry, we just read that. "While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So, in talking about commitment, I read these some very interesting examples that kind of make us think about our breakfast, our chicken and our pig again. Did you know that 40% of first marriages end in divorce? What's the number one reason? Lack of commitment. We have lack of commitment, young people now. I know this because my kids were just recently through this, have problems making commitments, right? You've been dating a girl for 2, 3, 4 years, whatever. You going to marry her or not? It's not a play thing. Make a commitment. Did you know that estimates show that 70%, this is very interesting, 70% of the workforce is actively looking to change jobs right now. Workers from age 25 to 34 change jobs every 2.8 years. The average person holds 12 jobs in their lifetime. Does that reek of anything to you? Lack of commitment. Where's our commitment? We don't like that word. That's not a fun word. It requires effort. It requires us to sometimes bite the bullet and keep going. We're going to need that commitment going forward, just like we talked about. We got so much going on. We need volunteers. We need workers. We need helpers. Did you know that we have over 25 ministries in this church? 25. There's 25 opportunities where you can plug in somewhere. And those are just the ones we have listed. We have so many more of things that are going on, mission trips, ESL, Operation Andrew. These all require people commitment. So I need to close up here. So let me ask you, let me leave us with this challenge. Here at Indian Creek, are you a member of a community group? You know what a community group is? It's a small group. It's a family group. If not, why not? If you are a member of a community group, do you even go to it? Or does it just kind of, you go when it fits your need? Now, been there, done that. I know everybody has conflicts. It's unavoidable. You have situations where a kid has this, child has that, car caught on fire, whatever, tornado, you can't make it. But when you have a situation, you go, well, I think it's going to rain tonight. I'm not sure if I'm going out. Wind's blowing. Can't make it to church. Yeah. How about your best buddy calls and says, hey, I'm coming into town. I may come in. I don't know. May not be able to make it. But I think I'm coming in Saturday night. Let's meet up Sunday morning in Fort Worth, go to Topgolf, hit a bucket, and then go up to the bar and grill, have a burger, and watch the Cowboys get beat. Yeah, easy. Ooh. Or do you say, no, I'm going to church. That's what I do on Sunday morning. All right? If you're in an equipping class, when you sign up for that equipping class and you put your name down and you take a book, do you follow through in that equipping class? Are you committed to that equipping class? If you're a volunteer in Indian Creek, do you do what you said you're going to do? All right, I'm going to close with this. Back in 1519, and I use this in two of my girls, actually my youngest daughter's wedding, a man by the name of Hernan Cortez was a Spanish conquistador, and he left Spain with the idea of conquering Mexico, or the coast of Mexico, where the Aztec Empire was. So when he landed there, he had 500 men and 11 ships. Unbeknownst to Mr. Cortez, when he got there, these Aztec warriors were ferocious. They were brutal. So Hernan goes in and says, we're going to wipe these guys out of here and take over this landmass. These Aztec Indians were kicking their rear ends. They wanted to go home. They said, we're out of here. Let's go. Cortez ordered all 11 ships to be scuttled. You might have heard the term burn the ships. That's where the term came from. He said, burn the ships. We are committed to fight these guys. You can't go home. You got to stay here. And that's what I told my daughters and my son-in-law. When you get married, it's a commitment. Don't go running back to mama. There's not a boat to take you back to mama or daddy. You're in it. You're committed. You are burning your ships. That's the level of commitment we need. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. In fact, Skipper read that earlier today. I said, bingo, that kind of confirmed something in my mind. 1 Kings 8:6-1 says, and may your hearts be fully committed to the Lord our God, to live out his decrees and obey his commands at all times. All right, so our challenge, we're all in this, is with Thanksgiving coming, end of the year coming, first part of a busy, hectic, crazy new year coming, examine your life. May we all examine our lives. Do we consider it a true privilege to be in Jesus Christ? Consider that privilege. Thank the Lord for what he's done. All right? It is a true privilege. Things we can't even describe, indescribable. Then, let's look at the responsibilities that go hand in hand with that privilege, the privileges that we know that come with salvation and being in the body of Christ. Then, let's have the commitment to follow through. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this day, for this beautiful weather you've given us. Lord, I thank you for each man and woman, young person in this building today, dear Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the extreme and indescribable gift of salvation, dear Lord, that was afforded us only through the blood of Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, we thank you for just all that you've done in this body and all that you've got already set up for us to do going forward. Dear Lord, help us to examine, convict us where we need convicting, change our hearts where we need changing, and dear Lord, help us to stay focused on you and be in your will forever, Lord. We thank you for the word that Raleigh brought today, dear Lord, and we remember that when much is given, much is required. In your holy name we pray. Amen.